Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, another service from our home to your home. We look forward to bringing this to you today. And I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning and welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, November the 1st. The key word is remember, and the affirmation is, I bless the people whose lives have touched mine. Grandparents, parents, siblings, members of my extended family, teachers, friends, co-workers, every person I've known has, by his or her example, helped me feel more deeply what it means to be human. Some have encouraged my curiosity. Some have taught me life skills. Some have modeled positive attitudes and behaviors. Some have loved me fully and unselfishly. And some have helped me learn to love even when loving felt difficult. Today, I remember the people whose lives have touched mine. I pause to think kindly of each one as I savor memories of times we have spent together. Whether we are still in one another's lives, have lost touch, or are separated by death, I know the experiences we have shared continue to enrich our lives and deeply bless us on our spiritual journeys. And the Bible verse is Romans 1:9. I remember you always in my prayers. Amen.
Well, good morning. We are going to embark on another hopefully exciting spiritual journey this morning. We're continuing with this series, What's the Goal Here? And this is part two of that. So in this series of talks, we're exploring from a personal perspective, what is the goal here? In other words, you know, what am I really striving to accomplish in this particular lifetime? Now, if we asked each other that question, we would, of course, answer it from a standpoint of, you know, I'm trying to be successful at this, or I want, you know, to create that, or we would talk about it from that intellectual perspective. But really, this question, what is the goal here, has to do more with our spiritual goals rather than our, you know, secular or life goals. So last week, I presented you with several questions, but the one I want to review for this lesson, and just, let me just bring it over so you can see it. It is, are you only interested in being free of all the pain, fear, struggle, conflict, and lack without even caring how it happens, just that it does happen? Or do you have a desire to learn how to gain control over your own life and affairs by becoming intimately acquainted with the truth, your relationship with it, and its relationship with you? Okay. So that's kind of what we're really striving to understand. And if you remember the last, when I did the first series, I talked about how when Jesus fed the 5,000, you know, which we said was really 15,000, that when he left, the people came looking for him, and they weren't looking for him because they wanted to learn how he did it. They just wanted to be fed again. So that's the nature of that question. And that's what Jesus said. He says, they're not coming to talk to me about how I took, you know, 2 loaves and 5 fishes and created, you know, enough food to feed everybody. They're not asking for that knowledge. What they just want to be is fed again. So that's the question here, is do we just want, you know, the good that happens in our lives when we said, oh, God is so good? Do we just want that good to keep happening without really knowing how it's happening? It's sort of like the idea of, we know that prayer works, but do we know how prayer works? So that's sort of what this lesson is getting at, all right? So in order to be effective in this study, we need to establish a common understanding of the concept of truth. You know, what is truth really? Well, first of all, truth is the cosmic mechanism through which Jesus healed the sick, fed the hungry, and raised the dead. So all the things that Jesus was doing that we attribute to him, he was doing through this mechanism, cosmic mechanism called truth. Okay, so truth is what Jesus was referring to when he said, all that I do, you shall do. Okay, now the word shall in that refers to our existing indwelling divine potential of which we are not yet aware. So that's why he said shall. In other words, you don't know it yet, but you shall know how to do this. So this potential is the truth of our being, you know. And when we become aware of it, we will be able to do all that Jesus did and greater, as he said. Now, as I said on a previous lesson, we will be able to do for ourselves what we ask God to do for us. And it's really God's, it's hard to use because it's making it sound like it's an anthropomorphic being, but it's sort of like God's desire is for us to understand the God within us so we can do those things for ourselves, which we are asking God to do for us. However, the question for us to ponder is, what do we imagine for ourselves when we ponder the life of Jesus, you know, and his statement, all that I do, you shall do? Are we imagining that the spiritual journey will lead us to be like Jesus, the man? Or are we awakening to the understanding that his teachings are challenging us to become like Jesus, the Christ? Okay. So the challenge for us is that we may be able to imagine becoming like Jesus, the human. Okay. The human Jesus, the persona of Jesus. But it may be difficult for us to imagine what is it like to become Jesus the Christ, okay? And this, you know, the use of his word shall, which is a strong assertion of something that will happen in the future, that's why he used that word. Because he said, remember he said, my deeds are for today, but my words are forever. So deeds are for today. People remember the man who did these particular deeds. But Jesus is wanting us to understand the Christ within him that was really doing those deeds. That's what he's trying to get at. So all indications point to the fact that we are that future. When Jesus said, my deeds are for today, but my words are forever, he was talking about the future. We are that future. And there's a whole nother lesson I could go into about how the mystics talk about what has happened in history that has brought us to a point, in recent history, that's brought us to a point where we are that future. And even though there's a lot of chaos in the world right now, especially in the next couple of days, right, you know, those who are doing the work to wake up will eventually be able to see the Christ and be the Christ in the midst of the chaos, okay? That's what we're trying to get to. So the revealing word explains how this will happen. It says, Jesus symbolizes the I am within each of us, which is the directive power that raises us to divine understanding. I remember my old instructor, Ed Rabel, would say that just saying the word Jesus creates a vibration within us, okay? So Jesus is that directive power that raises us to divine understanding. The archetype Jesus, not the personality Jesus. It is that which that word stands for, so to speak. And it explains also that as a result of a lack of conscious connection between the thinking faculty and the fountainhead of existence, humanity has reached a very low state of consciousness. In other words, our thinking is not connected to our Christ center. That's what it means by not being connected to our fountainhead, the fountainhead of existence. And because our thinking is not connected to our Christ center, we have reached a very low state of consciousness. And then came Jesus, whose mission it was to connect the thinker with God, the true source of thought. Okay? And these are just many ways of saying the same thing, that we talk a lot about being still so that you can hear that inner guidance that is, you know, giving you the next steps to do, so to speak, that a lot of times are beyond what you even could have imagined doing. So that's the idea of connecting the thinker, our mind, to God mind, you know, the true source of thought. So our work, our divine commission, is to tap into the Jesus archetype that already exists in the complex of our consciousness. In other words, it's already there, all right? Now, it's already there is sort of like Dr. Carl Jung talks about every generation stands on the shoulders of the generation that came before them. That's why so many of us who have grandchildren and great-grandchildren are talking about how smart they are. I mean, just think about yourself. If you had these grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you're telling everybody how smart they are. Well, that's the nature of that generation. Okay, they are coming out at a much higher consciousness than we are. So the foundation has been laid, as Jesus expressed, we shall discover it. Okay, and part of this process of discovery is an understanding of truth. And I'm saying an understanding because there are deeper, greater understandings of truth than we're going to go over today. But for this lesson, we will explore absolute truth versus relative truth. Okay. So absolute truth deals with the question, what is God? While relative truth deals with the question, what is our relationship to God? So when we talk about God, we're talking about absolute truth, the universal mind, the divine consciousness that is the universe and everything within it. God is the complex environment, the sea of infinite potentiality in which we live and breathe and have our being. I know I say that every Sunday, but that is an important fact for us to understand. Not only are we in God, like the fishes in the ocean, but God is also in us. In other words, in reality, let me just take a step here. There is no us. There is only God, okay, expressing as us. So on a simple level of consciousness, we will usually define God as life, love, faith, wisdom, peace, joy, understanding, comfort, and healing. This is because from a relative viewpoint, this is what we need God to be in our individual lives. Okay, that's relative truth. All right? Now, in the next level of consciousness, we'll talk about God as being, you know, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, meaning God is the all-powerful, all-knowledge, all presence that is beyond our present comprehension. But even though from an absolute perspective, God is beyond our comprehension, from a relative perspective, the power, wisdom, and presence that God is forever with us, forever seeking to endow and infuse us with the gifts of its love and bathe us in the light of its ceaseless, eternal understanding and grace. Okay? Which we experience as forgiveness and grace. Now, if we could know this, I mean, truly know this from the depth of our being, you know, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, we would never worry and have fear again. We wouldn't experience anything like lack and limitation, any of that again. But as C.S. Lewis said, we choose to keep our minds occupied with so much unnecessary, problematic and laborious thinking that it seems impossible not to fret and worry. Okay, so the challenge for us on this spiritual journey is trying to imagine living in perfect peace, faith, and joy. That's what we want, you know, and we'll have moments of it. But the challenge to that imagery is we only know what we know, and that knowing embraces the realm of dualism, okay, which causes us to believe that there has to be something opposite to whatever we are experiencing. So that's one of the biggest challenges with this idea. You might say, well, why can't I always be happy? Because we live in this world of dualism. We live in the world of what we believe to be opposites. It's almost like that saying, when is the other shoe going to drop? When's the other shoe going to drop? That actually came, by the way, out of a study they did in New York, in New York City in the beginning. They built all in these high apartments, they built one bedroom on top of another. So when the person above you took off their shoe, you could hear one drop, and you'd be thinking, when is the other one going to drop? That's where the saying came from, okay? All right, but that's what we're always looking for. Oh, everything is going so good, but when is that other shoe going to drop, okay? And this is why it's easier for us to imagine the idea of Jesus, the man, than Jesus, the Christ. It's because Jesus, the man, can be perceived as an opposite version of us. See, we swing back and forth between love and fear. However, we perceive Jesus is operating only from love, the opposite of us, okay? And it can cause us to believe that if we could correct ourselves, fix ourselves, we could be like Jesus, the opposite of us. But think about it. In this scenario of being like Jesus, we still see ourselves as being us. You got to work with me on this. You know, we're trying to imagine ourselves as being like Jesus. But because we can imagine Jesus the man more than we can imagine Jesus the Christ, we see ourselves being like Jesus, but still being a man, a woman, doing spiritual things, okay? And more specifically, you still see yourself as being you, just kind of how you are now, but more spiritual, right? I still see myself as being me, but just more spiritual. That's how we're perceiving this idea. Nothing really changes in our mind's imagination of ourselves except the fact that we think our thoughts will be spiritual like Jesus, okay? Now, the greatest block to our spiritual transformation is that we cannot imagine not being me, okay? The thought of giving up self, giving up me, even for Christ's sake, is beyond what we can envision. The question is, why is that? You know, why is it beyond what we can envision? Well, the answer most likely is the fear of no longer being me. And throughout my history of being in unity, I've heard so many people say that, well, when I become spiritual, will I still be me? Okay? And that's a real thing for us. It could be unconscious. You might not even be thinking that consciously, but consciously or unconsciously, we have this fear of no longer being me. But as it's explained in the book, The Disappearance of the Universe, it says, you will eventually come to realize that you are giving up nothing in exchange for everything, a state so awesome and joyous that to describe it in words is impossible. To attain this state of being, however, you must be willing to undergo a difficult process of correction by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so to paraphrase what the author goes on to say, we usually think that to correct something means to fix it and then keep it. So what we need to ask ourselves is, what's the goal here? Am I striving to fix myself up spiritually, but remain as I am? See, that's the question we all must ponder. And again, from the book, The Disappearance of the Universe, it explains that when the false self is finished being corrected by the Holy Spirit, what was you will no longer appear to exist. Okay? Now, that's why when Jesus, after the resurrection, and he met his, you know, people would see him after the resurrection, they would say, is that Jesus? Okay? Because even as profoundly spiritual as Jesus was, you know, as a human experience, when he resurrected, people had difficulty acknowledging it was him, okay? And this is why even Thomas, you know, asked him to prove that it was him, all right? So this is what we are consciously or unconsciously afraid of. What will happen to me, all right? It's sort of like the question I received from a lot of my students this semester. I was telling Pam about this, and here's how the question goes. Professor, where do I find the end of chapter questions? Did you get that? This is the question. Where do I find the end of chapter questions? Now, there's only one possible answer, which I tried to type without any judgment. The end of chapter questions are at the end of the chapter, right? Now, likewise, the answer to the question, where do I find the Christ? The answer is, you will find the Christ at the end of your chapter, okay? It is when you're willing to let go of your, you know, what you perceive yourself to be, this you that you, you know, you think you are. You've got to let go of that and allow the correction of the Holy Spirit to truly take place. We cannot try to remain as we are and at the same time allow the Holy Spirit to make this correction within us. And again, I admit this is, you know, unclear, vague, fuzzy, you know. How do I stop being me, right? Well, the answer to that question is found in what we have always been saying. You stop being you in those moments you take to just be still and know that I am God. Can you hear it? Be still and know that I am God. You cannot be you and at the same time know that I am God. Okay? So when you say, well, how do I stop being me? You stop being me yourself when you work with that idea of be still and know that I am God. There's not room in there for you and God. All that there is room for is God in that statement. Well, the other statement we affirm quite often is let go and let God be God in you. Again, you cannot let God be God in you and be you at the same time, right? It just makes sense. So you say to yourself, how do I stop being me? You stop being you in those moments, okay, when you practice those two affirmations, right? You know, and the difficulty here is, you know, it's all about the process of letting. It's all about the process of letting go. And that's the difficult process of correction by the Holy, where the difficult process of the Holy Spirit does its correction when you can practice letting go, okay? So we want to practice that idea of letting go. And think of it now. Now, you know, we're taking that to another level. That when I do practice letting go and letting God be God in me, or be still and know that I am God, in those moments I'm practicing not being me, okay? I'm putting myself in a space where the Holy Spirit can do its correction, all right? Now, correction, in this case, being regeneration, right? So to review this concept of regeneration, let me just cut over to that again. So the regeneration is a change. This is from the Revealing Word. Is a change in which abundant spiritual life is incorporated into the body through the practice of prayer and meditation. So if you say to yourself, well, how do I incorporate this abundant spiritual life into my body? It's through the practice of prayer and meditation. The transformation takes place by bringing all the forces of mind and body to support the revealing of the Christ self. It is the unification of spirit, soul, mind, and body into spiritual oneness. Regeneration by the Holy Spirit begins its work in the conscious mind and completes its work in the subconscious mind, okay? So hopefully these concepts are making sense from a practical standpoint. So, you know, how does this really work? You know, how does it really work? How do we purposely, willingly enter into the process of regeneration? Well, again, it's the practice of prayer and meditation, okay? It is in that practice when you're taking time to allow the Holy Spirit correction to take place within you. So when you take time to go into prayer, go into meditation, you're giving the Holy Spirit time to do correction within you. And every time you're able to let go of what you believe needs to happen in this certain situation, like say the election or with the pandemic, you know, you're saying this needs to happen in this particular time. Every time you think that, you're giving the Holy Spirit an opportunity to make a correction within you. So when you stop saying to yourself, I need this to happen now in this particular way, and you stop that and you just become still, in that stillness, you're giving the Holy Spirit a time to make a correction within you. The correction being a new way of seeing or perceiving a certain experience. So that's the reason for that, taking the time to be still in certain situations or circumstances or whatever that's happening in your life. Taking time to be still because the Holy Spirit correction will help you to see that situation in a different way. And I know that everyone hearing this lesson has experienced several Holy Spirit connections, but may not have known what it was that caused you to see a certain situation differently. This is when I would like to look out at you and see you shaking your head and going, I've had those experiences. So now you know that when something is going on in your life and something puts you into a quiet state and you get a new perception of it, you know that you just went through a Holy Spirit correction, okay? So spiritual awakening is not really rocket science. Let me say that again. Spiritual awakening is not really rocket science. It is, however, a matter of whether or not you want to fully engage yourself in the process that you now know will result in changes that could bring you to the end of a chapter in yourself. Let me say it again. It's a matter of you wanting to have the willingness to go through an internal change done by the Holy Spirit that will bring you to the end of a chapter in yourself. And I'm saying a chapter because the spiritual process is a series of chapters with continuous endings and continuous new beginnings. Now let's read from scripture on this, okay? So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." And in Ephesians 4:22-24, it says, "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, is to become renewed in the spirit of your mind." All right? And that's what we're looking to do. All right? So, in this idea of how to be fully engaged in the process of spiritual correction is what is being explained in Deuteronomy 6:5, when it says, "And the Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." If we follow this commandment, there would be no room in our hearts and minds for anxious, fearful thoughts. We would, like Paul, be willing to die daily to the old perceptions of self with, and come about with a renewed willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to make the necessary corrections within us. So dying daily is sort of letting go of aspects of yourself, tiny little aspects that you can work to let go of. And every time you do that, you're allowing the Holy Spirit more room to make these corrections within you. So the purpose of what we hear on Sunday and in classes, you know, with April and other teachers, if you're doing April's Wednesday night thing, you know, these are the kind of things you're hearing. It's, you know, the purpose is to awaken us to the truth that already exists within every fiber of our being, all right? So it's not a matter of getting to, you hear me say this so many times, it's not a matter of getting to be more spiritual, it's about awakening to what already is, all right? The very essence of who we are is already permeated, saturated, immersed in truth. And truth is what God is. And God is spirit. And that spirit produced in us its likeness and image by individualizing itself as each one of us. We are each the outpouring of God's love. So in truth, we are love, okay? The challenge for all of us is to be able to realize this truth for ourselves. And if we honestly, sincerely want to follow the way of truth, we must be willing to love God, the Spirit of Truth, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. And only then will we know truth as Jesus knew it. And when we come into the Spirit of Truth from this perspective, we will understand from the depths of our hearts what Jesus meant when he said, "And all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Okay? And I want to leave you with this affirmation. I think I have, yeah. This affirmation, it says, it came from yesterday's Science of Mind magazine. "I permit the spirit within me to express itself in perfect freedom, bringing every increasing joy into my life experience." And so it is. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
So join me now as we allow our minds and bodies to relax and become one with the Holy Spirit. We take a moment to come apart from the busyness of the day. No matter what situations or circumstances are going on around you in your life, there is an opportunity to experience peace. As you take this pause in meditation, you turn within. It is enough to breathe in and breathe out, releasing any stress on your heart and on your mind. Breathe in and breathe out, moving deeper within, releasing even more tension. As you focus within, you touch that place of peace. Outer circumstances no longer hold your attention or your focus. The peace that is always within you is evident and fills your being. As you breathe in and out once more, peace that is in the eye of the storm enfolds you. This is the peace that surpasses all understanding. It is the peace of God that is part of your true nature. Outer conditions and circumstances have no power over you, and any thoughts of tension or worry have gone away. Your mind and body resonate with this place of peace. This peace is your birthright. This peace is who you are at depth. Touching this place of peace, you know yourself as peace. It is more than a thought. It is more than a feeling. It is a knowing. You can touch this place at any time, just by turning within and becoming still. Touching this peace changes you, transforms you. And when your focus returns to what is yours to do this day or evening, new possibilities open up in the world around you because of this peace. So now join me in the silence as we make our way to that secret place of the Most High, our place of peace, love, joy, and faith. A place you may enter at any time. A place that you are never turned away from. So we step through the door to the secret place and we take a seat. And as we do, we feel the light and the love of God flow over, around, and through us and out into our world. We feel lighter. A load has been lifted from our shoulders. This is a safe place to be. So use this time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. We are so grateful, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers and you answer them as you always do. We give thanks for your guidance this upcoming week. Be with us each and every day. Guard our ways, guard our steps, our tongues, and help us to be an extension of your love and light in this world. For all these gifts that we receive on a daily basis, we give thanks now in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, Han. That was wonderful. This is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our individual lives to flow into our spiritual home. And we, you know, continue to say every week how thankful we are for all the blessings that all of you are sending to support Unity Center of Light during these very challenging times. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. And with that, let's do our affirmation for our right spiritual home. Offering blessing. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right, and we want to bless the path we walk.
And now let's bless the path that we each will walk this week. We'll say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. It was our pleasure to bring this service to you, and we look forward to seeing you in Zoom right after this. If you have not been in a Zoom fellowship, it's where we get a chance really to discuss some of the ideas that we talked about in the lesson, listen to some great music, and just fellowship with each other. So you can find the Zoom link either in the e-newsletter that comes from April or the weekly update that comes from Patty. But we look forward to seeing you in a Zoom.
See you in a few minutes.
Hey, bye-bye.